For years, we've been told that everything we fund and support is in the name of our shared democratic values. Everything from our Ukraine policy to digital censorship is billed as a defense of democracy. But when we see European courts canceling elections and senior officials threatening to cancel others, we ought to ask whether we're holding ourselves to an appropriately high standard. And I say ourselves because I fundamentally believe that we are on the same team. We must do more than talk about democratic values. We must live them.
This is Sandy Rios. Do you remember when we played that clip? And actually, I played all of it a few months ago. That was J.D. Vance, the vice president of the United States, speaking to the Munich Security Conference. And, of course, many of them were from the EU partners, from really the, I will just say it, the godless leftist of Europe. And they have been on the warpath to remove conservative candidates, leaders in various countries, in the realm or the scope of the EU, and getting rid of them in all kinds of creative ways to install their leftist of no free speech, all the moral depravity that the EU has embraced and enshrined in law. That's what they're trying to bring to Europe. They have they've had success in Ireland. They've had success in Italy. They've had success in France. Marine Le Pen, they charged her with some sort of crime regarding her election because her popularity in France has grown so much she was a great danger to them. So they're going to send her to jail. I don't know if it's HD, my next guest, will explain that a little bit more carefully, but they've sidelined her, whatever the terms are. It really is like a cancer spreading in Europe. And the European Union, even though they are economically depressed right now, even, you know, Germany's in trouble, France is in trouble, they still are, they're expanding their grip on these nations. What started out as an economic cooperation and a way for them to travel and share without having to go through the hassle of crossing borders, they could travel freely, and they would combine their GDP, and they would use a common currency, the euro, and they would become a block, a trading block that would be a rival to the United States. That was the original plan. But what's happened is that the EU has become like a spreading monster, a demon, as it were. And we'll get into that in our discussion with HD, and you'll see why it turned into something that the European people were not expecting. So now, when J.D. Vance was speaking, he was referring to what had happened recently, where Romania had removed the winner of the presidential race. His name was Caetan Georgescu. They just didn't want him. They accused him of being a Russian agent. They accused him of, he used TikTok to get the word out through his campaign because there's no way to get beyond the controlled press. And so they just snatched him. They arrested him. And the election was declared null and void. But they just had their subsequent election over the weekend. And that's the occasion for me to revisit the whole issue of what's happening in Romania in particular, but the other surrounding countries as well, with H.D. Hartman. I will introduce him again in a minute. But to set this up, I think would be good to have more nuts and bolts. This is from Sky News regarding the Romanian election just about 2 days ago as I'm speaking to you. Here it is.
The latest is that Nicu Șordan will be Romania's next president. We've heard in the past few moments, that is the cheering you can hear for it. He leads this election runoff against George Simion by more than 900,000 votes. And the official commission says that there are now only slightly more than 800,000 ballots to be counted. In other words, George Simion cannot get to the total that Nicu Șordan has reached. So we know that Dan will be Romania's next president after a campaign that has divided this nation between those backing a populist, nationalist, hard right politician, a young man with not much political pedigree, but with a view of changing this country, of saying that it was that he was the anti-establishment candidate, picked against Nicușor Dan, the mayor of the city of Bucharest, a 55-year-old, much more experienced politician, pro-West, pro-EU.
All right, so just to be clear, because as we discuss this, HD speaks beautiful English, but Nicușor Dan, you'll hear that a lot. He is the mayor of Bucharest, and he is the winner at 53.6%. George Simeon was the conservative so-called nationalist, and you'll hear how the press describe him. He's like, the man of the people, but they don't say that. They say he's that nationalist candidate, that Trump-like candidate, and it's, they drip with disdain. I'll make that case as we talk earlier. So it's George Simeon who lost, but just a few weeks ago, George Simeon was like 20, 25 points ahead of Nicușor Dan. And then suddenly on Sunday, Dan wins. He wins. And so here we go. We're going to talk about this with our guest in just a few minutes. But first, you can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast by just going to sandyrios.com. Honestly, that's so easy. If you are not podcast friendly, if it's kind of off-putting because you don't know how to do it, go to sandyrios.com. But if you are a person who enjoys podcasting, we are on any podcast platform. Also, if you're an AFR listener from long ago, we are on AFR.net because that's our home base, AmericanFamilyRadio.net. So I hope that gives you some ways to find us, and you can share it. I hope you will share it with your friends because we're doing the best we can to bring you the best information that we can and as accurately as we possibly can. Well, Preborn was our first sponsor, and they still are sponsoring the show, and I'm so glad because we are partners in the business of saving the lives of unborn children and reaching the moms to tell them that there is a better way. Like Theophilus said, Paul said to Theophilus, "Oh, Theophilus, there is a more excellent way." There is. You don't have to terminate the life of your baby. And once you see it on ultrasound, if any moms are listening to me and you see that baby in your womb, you just lose your interest in ending its life. It's a wonderful thing. And so we just want to ask for your help. It's $28 to provide one ultrasound. That's $28. And you can go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy to make that donation. And of course, if you want to be a monthly supporter, that's great. We ask you to do that and become part of the family of people. This is a wonderful way to save the lives of babies and to also reach the moms. Wonderful way. Preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you might ask the question, what does this have to do with us? Well, it has a lot to do with us because the same disease that's spreading through Europe, I think cancer is more accurately describing it, is trying to take over this country in the West as well. We are the West, the Americas. Canada is really has been overtaken by a very leftist winner as prime minister. That's a conversation we had a few weeks ago. But America is clinging to their freedoms, and we are the voice, as we used to be, the voice of freedom in this world. And so in my discussion with HD, we will be talking about that too. He makes some eloquent pleas to America for perspective and leadership. HD is a Romanian pundit. I'll introduce him properly after this little introduction. But I wanted to kind of set you up. Remember, Nicușor Dan is the man who won. George Simeon is the man, the populist, the Trump-like, icky Trump-like candidate who lost, who was ahead by like 20 points a couple of weeks ago. So that's the groundwork as you listen to HD speak on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness.
that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
We were on the streets last night here in central Bucharest, and there was a really big crowd that had come to the headquarters of Nicolae Dan. He's the mayor of Bucharest, but he's the man who has just won the presidential election here. It was an extremely tense few months, because if you remember back in November, the elections were run for president, but they were then cancelled because the man who won, a man called Calin Georgescu in the first round, it was found that there was evidence of Russian interference in the vote. So the whole thing was cancelled, and 6 months later, it was run again. And last night, when Nicolae Dan announced his victory, amongst the chants, people cheering his name, people screaming with excitement, there were also chants saying, "Russia, don't forget, Romania is not yours." So in many senses, this was a vote against Russia meddling. It was a vote from Romanians saying this is their country, they'll decide their future. But over in the other camp, if you like, the camp of George Simeon, the other candidate who came second, there was also frustration there. People couldn't quite believe that this was not the result they'd wanted. This had been a very tight race. They had expected to win it. But in the end, although George Simeon came out and announced himself to be president, the results did not show that. The exit poll was giving 54% to Nicolae Dan, the man who eventually won. And in the end, that was pretty much the final result. 54% to Nicolae Dan, 46% to the hard right nationalist candidate who has now lost this election.
All right, that's the BBC report of what just happened in Romania. And as I told you in the opening, you know, J.D. Vance back in March called out the EU in that Munich conference about taking away this election from the candidate that actually won back in the spring. They absolutely stripped him of that and held this special election. Now, we're talking about this because what happens in Romania and as faraway places from here has tremendous effect on the world, which has an effect on us. And the last time we discussed this, I introduced you to a man named H.D. Hartmann. He's a Romanian pundit. He has his own show. He's a frequent guest on the number one show on X, millions and millions of followers. That's Mario Nofal. So I'm just trying to give you context. H.D. knows what he's talking about, and he gave us painted a very interesting picture of what's happening in Romania last time we spoke, so we wanted to catch up with him. I've asked him to join us for us this morning, for him in the afternoon. Good morning, good afternoon, HG.
Yes, good morning and good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for inviting me, Sandy.
My pleasure. All right, so the last time we spoke, Calin Georgescu had his victory stripped away from him. And since I last talked to you, I actually was at a conference and heard the ambassador, Romanian ambassador to the United States, speak. And then I talked to him afterwards, HD. And based on our conversation, I actually confronted him about Calin. He told me Calin was lied about his campaign funds, and he told me he'd never been put in jail. So I'm starting with that just because I'm just curious to know what has happened to Calin. What's the truth here?
Okay. The first point is that that ambassador of Romania to the United States, it is a part of the problem. He's a bureaucrat. He's a neo-Marxist. And he definitely needs to leave the embassy. Unfortunately, with the new president elected by the elites and imposed by the liberal elites, we in Romania call them neo-Marxists. In the United States, you call them liberal. We do think that this ambassador is not going to be removed. He's a liar, and he lied a lot. We have to thank the government and the state that Calin Georgescu, the winner of the first round of the election last year, was not sent in prison. Really? Is this a democracy? Is this the way you treat people who were voted democratically, in freedom and constitutionally. This is the way they think. And I can tell you, Sandy, that we've seen the special elections, the two rounds we had now 2 weeks ago and last Sunday, as a recipe for the liberal dictatorship and the neo-Marxist dictatorship European Union wants to impose to all and every European country and each and every European territory. As well, I want to refute the lies from BBC report. BBC report didn't say that there were only a couple of thousand of people yelling on the street. I sent my teams on the ground to have live interviews with those Nico Jordan voters. And I can tell you that we could have only 1 in 10 interviews. We tried because people were either drunk or under substances, under influence of chemical influences. So now we are, BBC is lying as well. BBC is always lying in Europe. It's promoting a very neo-Marxist agenda where the freedom of the speech, where the freedom of beliefs, where the freedom in generally is like fascism, is very bad in today's European Union's policies to want freedom. It's very, very bad in today's vicious European neo-Marxist reality to speak freely, to vote freely. And if the candidate, if the chosen candidate of Europe is not elected by a nation, we undo the elections, we cancel the elections, as they did in Romania, and we organize special elections to get our men or women voted. So it was a sham. I don't think that the United States really realizes what's happening. One of the most important small partners, we're not a big country, but we are middle-sized country in Europe. One of the important partners of the United States in the security field and in the American interest in Europe field is literally knocked down by this neo-Marxist. And Nico Jordan, as president of Romania, will have one of the most anti-American policies ever seen since Stalin. It's not a joke, and you'll see, we'll speak more and more about this, but Romania will become one of the most anti-American, not Romania's nation, but the elites of Romania will become one of the most anti-United States elites in the world because of this gentleman. Let's not forget, and if I might have another 30 seconds, this gentleman was a student in France during one of the most Soros-based education in France. Decades, Soros had a huge influence and has a huge influence in educational French system. He came back as a civic activist when in Romania we never had this kind of civic activist. He organized a non-governmental network of these NGOs that were literally attacking all the capitalist principles of developing in Bucharest, of development in Bucharest, and he was a communist under the drape and the flag of democracy, because this is what is happening in Europe today. We have neo-Marxists, we have communists, we have anti-Americans that are draping themselves under the flag of democracy, human rights, LGBTQ plus, I don't know how many pluses. We do have a fake democratic president and a fake elite. This is what they want. They want another country. See what's happening in 2 weeks in Poland. Probably they will do the same in Poland. And after that, see how daily, but day by day, second by second, hour by hour, this European Union with Macron, the French president, with Merz, the German chancellor, are absolutely and totally destroying the United States' interests in Europe, the Trump's peace initiative in Ukraine, everything is sabotage in the name of democracy, in the name of human rights, in the name of everything that represents the American values. It's about Europe values. It's about how to steal countries, how to destroy nations, how to brainwash generations to be the perfect slave of the European colony.
HD, I know you're not exaggerating. I know you're not, because I followed
it.
You know what? No, I know you're not. And we have tasted that here on this side of the ocean. We have tasted it. So we know exactly what you're talking about. And they nearly did the same thing in this country. And I'd say right now, we're not clear and free. You know, they never go away. They never go away. They pick until they have victory. And so we have the same thing over here. And just to demonstrate what you're talking about the BBC, now I used to be on the BBC, not as occasionally they would interview me when I was in D.C. And it really was one of the most left-leaning, way, way back, it was one of the most left-leaning outlets of news anywhere on the globe. And that's all the British people get. They get the BBC, Scotland, Canada listens to, they have their own CBC. And so I'm going to give people an example. Here are the headlines about this election. From The Guardian, EU breathes sigh of relief after Dan defeats far-right rival. This is from Reuters. Centrist Dan wins Romanian presidents over hard-right pro-Trump rival. And then the last one, CNN, a Trump-loving populist could become Romania's next president. And, of course, that's before the election. None of it, if you read I've been reading a lot of articles this morning that, you know, Nika Sirdan is a moderate, he's a very well-educated, I forgot, he's a chemist or something to that effect. Mayor of Bucharest.
No, he's a mathematician.
Okay, good. This is who he is. This is what they say he is. Very impressive figure. And what I read was that George Simeon is a, I think they said, boxer. He's a populist. He loves Russia. He was going to try to pull Romania out of the EU. In fact, I will play for you just this short clip. This is the BBC reporter I played earlier. Let's listen to another remark that she made. This is clip 6.
Well, it means that they have stepped away from the brink, if you like, of voting for a man who was very much a Eurosceptic, who is a hardline nationalist, a man who has said very negative and insulting things about many people here in Romania and domestic politics, but also just this week described Emmanuel Macron of France as a man with dictatorial tendencies. I think if he had been president, you can see the kind of relationship, the kind of change in tone in relations between Romania and other members of the EU. I think that's one thing many people here were worried about. I think in terms of relations with Ukraine, things will now stay the same. The nationalist candidate had said he would stop military aid to Ukraine. There was a lot of talk about the need to push for peace for Ukraine, which is essentially what Vladimir Putin says. So that has changed, that will stay the same. Romania will remain a key ally of Ukraine, which is on its border. There is quite a lot of concern here about the war in Ukraine. Lots of people have been focused on that in the run-up to this election, people talking about the danger of the war spilling over into Romania. And that was kind of a key thing in people's minds as they went to vote. But ultimately, they voted for the candidate who will maintain the status quo, which is strong support for Ukraine, including military aid, and also helping Ukraine with its grain exports to Europe. So in that sense, this vote was particularly important.
All right, the BBC reporter again. Now, a couple of things. I want to talk about Ukraine in a second. But first, to focus on the EU, I'm curious, HD, what benefit do the people of Romania think that they get from being part of the EU? What is the big benefit that they think they get?
Well, that's a perfect question, because it is in Romania, we do have a sad joke now. When the supporters of Nicu Șordan were asked, why do you want to vote for this gentleman who is not able to talk freely? I can tell you that our news information is that he's not on the normal spectrum of, and I will stop short, not you to be accused or I to be accused of something, but he has he's displaying a small delay from thinking to talking, and he was known as a very strange young man. He's not in the normal spectrum of human behavior. But
are you speaking? Wait a second, HD. Are you speaking of Nico Serdan?
Yes.
Nico Serdan.
He was born with this abnormal spectrum. I would argue in this way. When the supporters of Nico Serdan were asked, why do you support Nico Serdan? They said in this way, and this is true, attention, it is very true, that we want bananas, we want blue jeans, the American workers' trousers, and we want to freely visit Europe. Those were the three main elements. It's a joke for a nation. You don't build a nation with bananas, okay? Or with three tourists. You don't build a civilization with that. Anyway, those three elements became the joke of the year when this gentleman became Sunday night the elected president of Romania, because Romania has a 10% national deficit, the biggest one in Europe, as a huge, huge national debt. It's almost 62% of the national revenue, of the national income, has no industry, has no medical system, has no educational system, has nothing. And the voters of this gentleman wanted to be sure that we are not going in Russia, because they wanted bananas, blue jeans, and definitely no visas for their weekend breaks in Europe. It is fantastic how the neo-Marxist system brainwashed a nation. Since 20 years, we are told that if you are against the European Union, you are for Russia, which is a lie. You know why? I lived communist. I lived under Soviet Union. Romania was not under Soviet Union as per se. It was not member of the Soviet Union, but was under the Soviet occupation. Russians never liked nationalists, because nationalist means independency, means sovereignty, means identity, national identity. And the international Soviet Union, the communists from there, never liked this kind of principles. You know, who doesn't like today this kind of values? European Union. They don't like nationalism. They don't like sovereignty. They don't like independency. They like people who want to become colonized. They want colonies, exactly as Moscow. So when you lie saying that Simeon wanted, with his hyper-nationalism, with his independency values, with his Christian values, he wanted to go to Moscow, it was a full fake news organized and distributed by everybody in the European Union and in Romania, because we know that Moscow never liked this kind of values. They wanted to have colonies, like European Union wants today to have colonies. In fact, if you look how Macron, how Merz of Germany, how Starmer from London, how everybody from the big European powers treat the United States, they treat you on international scale like a retarded child or a lost colony. They never, ever recognize the superpower, the national identity, the national culture, the national values the United States has. If we do not understand this, we don't understand the malignity. The devil today resides in Europe.
Oh, I totally agree.
Our
I totally agree. HD, I saw the dedication.
I lost you for a second.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry to step on your conversation. I was just going to say, I totally agree that the devil abides in Europe, if you can say that figuratively. He is everywhere. But I'm telling you, I remember when they dedicated the EU nations, dedicated a tunnel. I think it was in Germany, but I'm not sure. Probably 10 years ago, and Angela Merkel was there. I'm not sure who the president of France was at that point, but all the leaders were there.
Sarkozy.
Yes. And they were, it was a pagan ceremony. It was pagan and vile and vulgar, and they all stood there like this was great stuff. I'll never forget that. So this is not new. It's been happening. It's just that people weren't really aware. And now it's manifesting itself in control and the spread of this kind of wickedness. I'm curious
Exactly. And you know what happened? I want to interrupt you because I want to give you another argument.
Okay.
2 days after Nikushor Dan was elected, presumably elected because there are rumors of fake votes, etc. There are strong rumors about huge fraud. But let's say Sunday night he was elected, okay? 2 days only, we are Tuesday, 2 days only, in this morning, the LGBTQ communique asked through a press request that the president involves himself, which is unconstitutional, into immediately signing or imposing the law to recognize the same-sex marriages. Do you understand it? It's incredible. And they say specifically in that press communique that because we voted for you, we want you to do this.
Listen, that's how it works.
This is not democracy.
No.
This is not Romanian values. I don't want to see LGBTQ communities hated on the street. That's against my belief. But also, I don't want to see, same-sex marriages. I don't want to see children adopted in a same-sex family. I don't want to see transgenders born a man and said that and claiming that they are women. I don't want to see all this upheaval that comes with this absolutely devil ideas of the liberal elites, who are in fact today they are neo-Marxists. Mm-hmm. So we have a prolongation of the Marxist ideology, which was one of the worst, near the fascist ideology, the Nazi ideology was one of the worst, through today's elites in Europe, we have that devil's ideology prolonged and occupying nations and states and territories. And I repeat, in Romania, what we shall see in the next coming years, in the very near future, not a medium distant future, no, in the very next future, we shall see an explosion of this ideology, of this anti-family, anti-Christian, anti-Judeo-Christian communities, anti-everything. You know, Nikushor Dan, by the way, when he was asked during his campaign about the international arrest warrant issued by Muslim guy from that Muslim prosecutor from International Penal Court, right? Against Bibi Netanyahu, he said that if Bibi Netanyahu arrives in Romania, he will arrest him.
Oh.
He will order the arrest of Bibi Netanyahu if he would be the president.
So you'll
see it in the next coming future.
Mm-hmm.
These changes against a normal development of a society.
So that's Nikushor, I don't want to get it right, Nikushor Dan. I'm trying to do my best Romanian here. The gentleman that was defeated was George Simeon, which we've mentioned, but I want to talk about him just a little bit because I realized when I look back on the clips that we played, the news clips we played when you were with us last, we had a clip of George Simeon right after Kalen Georgescu was removed, forcibly removed from his victory as the leader. So this is what George Simeon said back in, I believe it was March. Let's listen. This is clip 9.
Many of you asked me what is happening now in Romania. We are in an ongoing coup d'etat. Mr. Georgescu put his candidacy at the Central Bureau, Electoral Bureau, and by 10 persons to 4, by 10 members to 4, it was rejected without any reason. All the papers were in good order. They just said they voted through their conscience. Now there are 5 judges there, all of them voted against him, and 5 representatives of the parties that are actually in power. The 4 votes for Mr. Georgescu were from our side of the opposition. We live in a dictatorship. Please help us. Please be on our side to restore democracy in Romania.
I just thought that was ironic, HD, that the passion that he spoke with. So he ends up stepping in to run since Kalen Georgescu was prevented and jailed and actually prevented from ever running again, as I recall, which is what they've done in France, which is what they did the same thing in Ireland in various versions. You're right, it's spreading like wildfire. Canada, same thing they just went through. So I would like to know a little bit about George Simeon, though. Can you tell us something about him?
Well, George Simeon as a product is, first of all, despite all the fake news about this gentleman, he's very young. He's 38 years old. Nico Jordan, the neo-Marxist newly elected president, is 53. George Simeon is well known as he's coming from a poor family from inside the country. He was an excellent student. He finished one of the most elite high schools in Bucharest. In fact, my children went there. He went after that to the University of Bucharest. He has a history diploma. He has a history bachelor and a master, and he's preparing his PhD as we speak. So he's not an uneducated, low-level Romanian, as the so-called pro-European analysts are depicting him. Second, he's well-known for his activities for unification, the reunification of Romania with Moldavia. Moldavia, if we know, if the history is well-known, was stolen by Stalin with the agreement of Hitler. And it was never returned to Romania after the collapse of communism because Germany, Berlin, did not want to renegotiate the end of the war treaty, the Versailles Treaty, where Moldavia was recognized, that part stolen by Stalin, as part of the Soviet Union. So we could not recuperate our territory, our historical territory. Now, he went in Moldavia, Republic of Moldavia, very young, I think 23, 25 years old, and she started a union, reunification party and movement, a social movement, and he was declared by the government of that time persona non grata. He was expelled from Moldavia. As well, he went to Ukraine well before the Russian aggression started against Ukraine, and he created as well there a reunification movement, because there in Ukraine we have a very small part of our national territory stolen as well by Stalin, and he gifted it, as Crimea was gifted it by Khrushchev. Stalin gifted a very small part of our territory, national territory, to the Soviet Ukraine. So after the war, so he was as well expelled and declared persona non grata in Ukraine. And when he started to become a real politician in Romania 5 years ago, some 5 years ago, he was attacked by the Moldavian so-called intelligence services and by the Ukrainian intelligence services that he was expelled not for his reunification policies in those two countries, but because he was a Russian spy. From here you have the legend that Simeon was a Russian spy, which clearly is a lie. We in Romania, we know that it is a lie. Okay. So when Europeans started to see that he's rising and he gets more and more votes, and because of the cancellation of the elections and of the democracy in Romania last December 2024, Călin Georgescu lost his right to present himself for the new elections. George Simeon was the natural person to step in. And he stepped in. He was not very well prepared. He's very young, 38 years old, okay? Very young for this position. And he was attacked immediately by the pro-European forces that he's a Russian spy, which we knew that it's a legend invented by those neighboring countries against the national fight of Romanians to come back to the mother to the motherland. So it was so interesting to see this fight developing until this gentleman, George Simeon, had to prove that he is not a Russian spy. And how do you prove that? You cannot.
You cannot prove
it's
that.
Exactly. It is exactly as happened, and I will finish very shortly. Sorry for this long answer, but it is exactly as happened to Donald Trump when he was accused to be bought by Russians. You know, the Russia gate hoax, okay?
Very
and
well.
It took 2 years. And it took 2 years of a national commission to say that there is nothing true in that story. You remember they used a B-rated spy from Great Britain to invent the infamous le dossier, okay? Mm-hmm. Used by Hillary Clinton, paid for by Hillary Clinton, and used by Hillary Clinton in the elections against Donald J. Trump. So the same compromise, the same principle used by Europeans to destroy Donald Trump was used in his case.
That's what they used on Kalin also. They said Călin Georgescu was a Russian operative too. So it's like, it really is quite boring. If you think about it, they are never very creative. They use the same things, you know, corrupting the youth, talk about misinformation, you know, giving bad information, lying, just propaganda, just thick. Don't you think that Russia would be delighted?
You know what? I just want to stop you. Sorry for that, Sandy, but to make a remark. Yes, they are using the story because it keeps giving blood. They are exploiting the historical trauma of Romanians in the case of Romania, okay? They are exploiting the historical trauma of the Soviet occupation. So they know that they are touching a very deep sentiment of Romanians that is against Soviet Union, it's against the Russian occupation. Don't forget, in our last 200 years, not even 200 years, not even full 2 centuries, Russia attacked Romania and the Romanian principalities 13 times. So the European Union knows how to use this manipulation. They are manipulating based on an historical trauma.
I understand that. Actually, I was going to tell you, if I can say this clearly, when I talked to Ambassador Andrei Muraru at the conference privately, I really confronted him on this because I just said, because I was, you may recall, I don't have vast knowledge, HG. As an American, I probably have more than most, but I don't claim that. I'm just telling you that when, my two friends from Romania, oh, okay, now I'm blanking out, Maria, and I mentioned to them last time, they escaped Ceausescu. They were going to give away their children. And I saw them, I met them, I sat at a table with them when they had just come, telling the story about the oppression and the horrors in Romania under Ceausescu. So I reminded him of that, and I said, I don't care, Calin was the choice of the people. Why would you deny them that choice? Do you really want to go back to the way Romania was? Do you want your people to be oppressed? I mean, and he really, I don't think he was happy with me, HD, but it just, I thank you for giving me knowledge so that I could have that conversation with a man like, I don't think it helped him at all, but nevertheless, they need to be confronted. So let me ask you this. Hungary's getting ready to have their election, and I don't fully understand that, except they do have a very conservative candidate. Is that something Romanians are following? I'm sure you are, right? Because you guys are close, pretty close neighbors. So what's happening there? Can you tell us before we let you go here?
Yes. Are we still online?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, now I can hear you. Yeah, we have moments when I don't hear you. Hungary. Okay. Let's start again so you can cut it. So Hungary, answering to your question about Budapest and Hungary elections, Hungary is the rebel of the European Union. Their prime minister is a very sovereign prime minister. He's in power since 20 years. I can tell you that Hungary starts to become tired of this gentleman, not because he's a bad leader, but, you know, leaders are getting old. People are sometimes fed up with those leaders, and they want a change. So Hungary is leaning towards a change. The problem is that being the rebel of European Union, they've been a very hard hit economically by European Union. They're almost isolated. And for Romania, it's very important who is in Budapest, as prime minister, because Hungary is the creator of one of the main lines of Romanian identity, because Transylvania, the historic Romanian province, which is the richest, the best, the whatever you want to say about Romania, inside Transylvania is the leader of Romania. Transylvania was for centuries under the leadership of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, Vienna and Budapest. For us also, from Transylvania, from inside the country to Hungary, you drive 6 hours, 7 hours, the most, okay? So we have a symbiotic relation since hundreds of years, and also we have the biggest ethnic minority in Romania is the Hungarian minority. And they have ministers in our government. They have candidates to the presidency of Romania. So it's a symbiotic history here. So for us, what's happening in Budapest, it's like happening in Bucharest. So Europeans now are trying desperately to change Orban, the prime minister, okay, the current prime minister. He's a conservative. By the way, he started as a Soros student. Orban started as a very young liberal Soros student. And when he understood how bad Soros is, how bad neo-Marxism
is. Oh, Soros. You're saying Soros. You're saying Soros, right?
Yes, I'm saying Soros.
Yes.
Soros. In Romanian, we say Soros because that's his name.
Yes, okay? I believe you.
In English, you don't have this. You don't have this letter.
Right.
We have
right.
I just
want to make
Soros.
Okay, good. All right, so go on. So Viktor Orban was a student? Viktor Orban was a student of George Soros. Okay.
Yes, when he was very young. When he was very young, okay?
He
discovered the devil in Soros ideology, and he left. and he became a conservative. Now he's the only real Trumpist in Europe. Meloni of Italy is half-half, okay? Meloni has a very interesting attitude towards Trump. But when Trump was raided in Mar-a-Lago, when Trump was arrested, when Trump was convicted based on false accusations, the only European leader who was near him, who publicly declared that everything is it's a sham and it's a lie, that Biden wants to destroy Trump and Trump family, was the Hungarian Prime Minister Orban. So what's interesting, and that's very interesting, it's a signal, is that you think that if Budapest has a conservative prime minister, a very near Trump ideological prime minister, you think that the Romanian Hungarian minority would vote for Simeon, the only pro-Trump candidate in Romania. Well, no. The Magyar minority, the Hungarian minority in Romania, voted for Nicu Șordan for the neo-Marxist candidate. So that's a signal that even in Hungary, 20 years after being prime minister, Orban will have a fight in his hands.
That's really bad news. That's really bad news. I hope that he, you know, it's really the tide is not a good tide right now because, of course, Marie Le Pen in France having the same plight where they're arresting her. They're putting her in jail. She's forbidden from running.
Well, they convicted her. No. Let's put it in the right terms. They convicted her in with a suspended prison conviction. She's not going to be in prison, but they banned her from participating in 2 years from now into the presidential elections. That's the real coup. Mm. Okay, that's the real coup against her. Okay, and she was accused by European Union, and the French courts convicted her. Because you see, when European Union starts to hate you, they will do whatever is necessary to destroy you. And with Marie Le Pen being so powerful in France, the European Union accused her and the French courts convicted her.
Okay. Let me ask you something.
It's very interesting how that happened.
It is. The whole thing is fascinating and tragic. But it's not over. Yeah. I mean, I'm not willing to put, you know, a gravestone on Europe yet, although, you know, some would. But I guess I would ask you the last question, because I know you have your own live show to do, so I want to be mindful of that.
Yes.
But what would be, if President Trump called you and asked him what he should do, what the U.S. should do in regard to dealing with the EU, what would you tell him?
Oh, very simple. Push for democracy, push for freedom, push for the rights of the citizens. You see, President Trump today speaks for the citizens. In Europe, and that's the irony, that's the dark irony of the history, Europe is the mother of the idea of citizenship, okay? The equality of the citizens in front of the laws, in front of the monarchs, in front of the elite. Well, the only one speaking about that is an over the pond American who says, guys, don't forget that those are not your serfs. Those people are citizens, and they enjoy the God-given rights of freedom, the right to be happy, the right to dream, to love, to worship the God of your choice, etc., etc., etc. The right to have a family, the right not to be destroyed by a state without soul, etc. So if I would have this discussion, I would tell him, push and push and push, because the power of America, you know what's interesting? During the last 30 years, the power of America was lost. Since Bill Clinton, United States lost the power. You know what's the power, Sandy? And to everybody who is listening to us, it's the dream, the American dream. For God's sake, that power is coming back. Continuing to speak about the God-given rights, about the citizenship rights, about the human rights, continuing to tell the people that there is a that democracy means voting, the right to be to vote and to elect and to be elected, that nobody can take that from you. That becomes more and more the American dream, because Europe never had that, not even in so-called between wars democracy. Europeans had that freedom United States had. And yes, that was called in our culture, in our imaginary, that was called the American dream.
Yes.
Since the corruption of Clinton's to the Biden corruption, United States lost that influence, that incredible influence. I will tell you, I will give you the last example, because in 10 minutes I'm getting to my own live show. Everybody was waiting for the congratulation message from United States to Nico Jordan to recognize his victory. You know what happened? Today, all Romania received a one-phrase notice, not from the White House, not from the Secretary of State, not from the Vice President, but from an embassy, the United States Embassy in Bucharest. It's a one-phrase comment that the United States is expecting to smoothly work with Nicu Jordan as President of Romania. No congratulations, no word congratulations, no real warm phrase, only one phrase message. You know, Romanians immediately understood that the United States is cold about this man. This is the power of the American dream. This is the power of Americans telling us your democracy is in peril. Your democracy exists only if us, the citizens, fight for it. That's the most important. So I would tell every American the same thing. Protect your democracy, because here in Romania, we're starting the war. It will be a long war. It will be a war with victims. But at the end, we will live that American dream, which should be the global dream for each man, woman, child, young or old, born on this planet, to have the rights given by God, respected by anybody. And that's what I would tell everybody.
Beautiful, beautifully said, HD, beautifully said. And with that, we'll end our time together, but it's a treasure. I appreciate you teach us every time you join me. So I hope we can do it again. And our hearts and our prayers go out.
I hope so.
Our hearts and our prayers go out to the people of Romania, including you, HD. So thank you so much, and God bless you. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year, despite the overturn of Roe v. Wade. And tragically, the total number of abortions is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next seven causes of death. Combined, I mean, that is just, with the abortion pill, it's even worse, and we've talked about it at that at length. And let me commend to you a prior podcast cast. And let me commend to you a prior podcast when I had a long discussion about that abortion pill and what it does and women's testimonies, because I don't think you're hearing that on the news either. So I hope you'll look back on that. But we're in the business of saving lives, and we're partnering with Preborn to do that. They show moms the ultrasound of the baby, and women rarely, I can't say that. I'd say over half of them decide to keep their babies once they see them in utero. Also, Preborn is in the business of giving like a counter to the abortion pill as long as they've only taken the first one, which kills the baby. But it takes some time, and so Preborn has a pill that they can give that often reverses the process. After the second pill, it's too late because the baby is expelled, and it's just too late. This is how tragic it is, and this is how seriously Preborn is going about trying to save women's lives and babies' lives. If you would like to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. $28 supplies one ultrasound for one mom to save the life of one baby, maybe two. We've heard a couple of stories of twins in the womb who've been saved. So go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Sign up to be a monthly donor if you like, if you're motivated to do that. But just do the best that you can, whatever God lays on your heart that you can do. And go to preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Sunday's election took place nearly 6 months after an initial ballot was cancelled in December. That was due to alleged Russian interference favoring far-right politician Kirilin Georgescu, who was banned from standing again.
Russia denies its involvement.
Simeon said he would have nominated Georgescu as prime minister if he won the election. Analysts say if Simeon had won, it would have meant isolating Romania abroad, eroding private investment, and destabilizing NATO's eastern flank. It also would have meant a new ally for Hungary's fiercely anti-immigrant leader Viktor Orban, a longtime Trump ally, and Slovakia's Robert Fico, who both oppose military aid for Ukraine in the European Council, as the body decides on aid for Ukraine, energy, sanctions against Russia, or the EU's budget. Romania's voting took place just as neighboring Poland carried out its first round of presidential elections. Their liberal frontrunner Rafael Trzaskowski edged ahead of right-wing candidate Karol Nawrocki. Both elections are being closely watched across Europe, amid concern more Europeans are supporting Trump-like politics due to popular anger over migration and cost of living, eroding unity on the continent over how to deal with Russia.
That's a Reuters report, and that reminds me of something we didn't talk with HD with, and that was just this whole forcing of this open immigration. That was a disaster for Europe, and yet they've never really acknowledged it. I guess some of them have. The rapes of women in Sweden and Germany, the invasion of Muslim men, military-age young Muslim men, it has been a nightmare. The same thing has happened in England, but not in the same way. They've been, because of their colonization, they've been open to people from all kinds of countries and languages for since Victoria, really. And so they have become, they've allowed so many adherents to Sharia law, Muslims, that you hear the call to prayer in many cities in England now. And they have this problem with men, and we did discuss this too a few weeks ago, men raping young girls and the police covering for them. Muslim men, this is a Pakistani man in this case, in this area of London that we discussed. It's really turning the world upside down. And because Europe has released its long ago, really, their dedication to the gospel. Remember Martin Luther and the Reformation? You read the history of that and how much the Germans were into God's word. And Poland has a rich history too, a Catholic history, but of faith. And of course, Poland's still hanging on to their faith. They are, and I think that's really admirable. And we got Hungary, who's under Viktor Orban. I did an interview with Hungarian television in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago and met Viktor Orban. And it was really, actually, I started to say kind of cute, but maybe that's not appropriate. I would just say they were rediscovering that they had no idea. They didn't know what the Soviet world was like. I was talking to these young men, and they just thought Poland was, or Hungary was, you know, finding something unique about values and applying, you know, God's standards to public schools and all of that. It was really fun to talk to them and have that conversation. But God is still at work. Don't be in despair. And I would have said that to HD too. HD is Jewish. You can see that we're kindred spirits. I'm saying myself, and I'm talking about many of you who are listening. God is at work in this world, and it's tragic to watch the interim until he returns and just heals the world and brings a new heaven and a new earth. I really long for that time where the wrong is made right, the crooked ways are made straight, and a wrong is no longer right. It's going to be incredible, and it is going to happen, but not today. So meanwhile, we have to cope and we have to fight. There's nothing wrong with fighting. God chooses men to be warriors. And I think women too, in their own way, we have to fight for what's right for our children and our future. And so I thank you for doing that because I know that you do. Well, I hope you enjoyed today and learned something. I certainly did. I learned something every time I talk to HD. And I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, before I say goodbye, because they kind of instruct you on how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. And before I say goodbye, I want to remind you of HD's admonition to thank God for our freedoms. To thank God for the freedom to worship God and embrace Him and order our lives accordingly. That could be lost at any moment. Don't let that happen. And be in prayer for the world, for Romania right now because they're on the tip of the spear, but for the world and God's redemption. All right, so thanks for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.